The following is an exclusive presentation of WI Garden Media, the voice of Garden Talk Radio. Coming up on the program today, we're going to go over urban homesteading and nut trees. Our guest will be founder of the Grow Network, Marjorie Wildcraft, and will answer your garden questions. The hour's jam-packed, and it starts right now.
You are listening to the most informationally packed hour of garden-focused radio in the country and on the internet with your host, husband and wife team Joey and Holly Baird. This is the Gardening with Joey and Holly radio show.
Welcome to the Gardening with Joey and Holly radio show. Happy that you've joined us today on the program. I am your host, Joey Baird. Beside me is my wife, co-host, best friend, and gardening partner,
Holly Baird.
This program is for you, about you, to help your garden grow better, to maintain your landscape, grow healthier trees, make your grass look greener, as well as preserving what you grow. If you'd like to get a hold of us during the program or any time, you can certainly do that by sending us an email to gardentalkradio@gmail.com. That's gardentalkradio@gmail.com. Or you can give us a call, 1-800-927-SHOW, 1-800-927-7469. Can't get to you during the program? Leave a message. We will call you back. We appreciate you tuning in, whether you're listening to us on one of the 15 radio stations broadcasting our program here in 2021, through a radio app, through our parent website under the Season 5 tab, thewisconsinvegetablegardener.com, or podcast replay, in-studio video replay. Thank you so much. We're going to dive right into the program today. We're going to talk about urban homesteading, Holly. And you know, we've got a lot of listeners in a lot of different locations across the United States. Some are in suburbia, some in is rural areas, some are in between, and we're going to cover what you know, some what you might consider country people have always done, which is always prepared, but in the more modern sense now, because of everything that everything that's happened in the last 18 months has put a new emphasis on urban homesteading and preparedness.
Right, and just self-sufficiency in general, I think, seeing things increase in price or shortages, what have you, maybe has brought to light some of these things that people want to learn.
Well, right.
And just like things being shut down.
There was
a year and a half ago.
Right. There was a interview one of the big news networks did with a farm family. I don't know, it was somewhere in the Plains area. And they asked him, you know, have you noticed during the events that we've had, this was like April, May, when everything was, you know, the toilet paper was coming off the shelves and all this other stuff about a year ago, a little more than a year ago. And they said, well, we really haven't seen anything because we prepare and plan a month ahead. We buy enough for about a month worth of home products, you know, toilet paper and food and all that, because they live on the farm. They're so rural that it's a whole day deal to go to the store and come back.
Well, we buy about a year ahead.
Yeah.
Accidentally. I'm not accidentally, but I usually buy the bulk pack and it lasts us a good amount of time of toilet paper.
I mean, there are some people that either because of financial or just because they choose to, they get like the little 4-pack and that's it.
Right. And I definitely have been there. But yeah, so that's one thing is thinking ahead is a process of urban homesteading. And there's some things that you may have learned to do in the past year that maybe you wouldn't have done before. Never thought you would do. I think a lot of people learned how to cook and bake this past year, and that's definitely an urban homesteading practice.
Right.
And it's not even like you have to bake anything fancy or cook anything fancy, but just not relying on sometimes
the loaf of bread at the store.
Right. Or whatever. And even like a couple of my friends were learning how to cook more, not just even out of necessity, but just out of, I don't want to say boredom, but just like learning a new hobby.
Mm-hmm.
So that's an urban homesteading thing. Another one is growing your own food.
Well, we've seen, and many of you may have started last year and carried over to the 2021 growing season and tuned into this program for advice on how to best utilize your garden and the products in which you're growing and learn things in which we're able to share to help you be more successful We've seen an influx of questions and subscriptions to different social media platforms that our content is on because of that. And you don't have to just grow a garden thinking that if I can't grow the whole backyard, it's not worth doing. There is a lot of product and produce in which you can get out of small areas, flower beds, 4x4 raised beds, or little areas in the yard that you flipped over, that you turned the soil over and smothered out the grass and planted right there in the backyard, and it worked just fine.
Right. So, yeah, it's that's just a process of growing your own food, and I think a lot of people learned that it's – it's not something you're going to perfect in 1 year. It's not something you're going to perfect in 100 years.
Right. It's not. Yeah. It's not. It's just like anything else. If you're going to go golfing, if you're going to go rebuild cars, there's a learning technique and a learning process. Same thing with gardening.
Right. So maybe you're limited in your food growing abilities or room or what have you.
Farmers markets.
You can visit farmers markets, and this is. The biggest thing about being self-sufficient, doing the homesteading thing, is you're cutting down your supply chain, essentially.
Right. And people think self-sufficiency means you live in a cabin out in the woods and you're 200 miles from anybody and you've got to kill everything you eat or grow everything you eat and you got to drink the water from the stream. That's simply – that is one way of being self-sufficient, but that's a very extreme means.
It is extreme. You can be self-sufficient in the city. So farmers markets is definitely one of them. As we mentioned, cooking, baking, growing your own food, learning self-sufficient skills. So this could be anything from learning just simple first aid. And you might think, oh, I know first aid, but do you know first aid? Like how well do you know how to clean a wound, how to get yourself or somebody in your household, if they got a deep cut, how would you deal with that before you could take them somewhere to get it looked at?
And are you able to mentally change your thought process of, oh, my blood, I'm going to pass out, to, I need to do this, otherwise somebody's going to die?
Like letting your fight or flight kick in, or your freeze. People mention fight or flight, but they don't mention that other one, freeze, mm-hmm. and that happens too. So stuff like that, even – I don't know. Do you have a thermometer in your household? You know, things like that. We have a thermometer. We have two different ones, and we could probably even use a better one, but it works for us. Even like having a weather radio, we have one of those that you can charge or you can wind. Mm-hmm. And there's lots of the summer where we are. There was a huge storm and people lost power, and so
A town couple over that was out of power for over 10 days.
Yeah.
No joke. 2021, we were out of power. Not us, but that town was grocery stores, banks, the whole deal, out for 10 plus days. And it was not a good scene. But also with that.
And it was summer.
Right. It was summer. So with that, you know, whether you have tight finances or you have extra money, it would not be a bad investment to buy a couple of battery packs that you can get several charges off of your cell phone with, just because the ones we have, I don't know what brand they are, but they last months without losing any whatsoever power. And I think we paid $20 a piece for them.
I think it's closer to 30.
But that is something that is essential, that if the power goes out, that you can get multiple charges off these things, and they're good quality. You pay for what you get when you come to a battery charger or a battery pack for phone.
And the one I've had for a number of years, and I used to use it a lot more when I worked, when I wasn't working from home. But yeah, they're definitely worth the investment.
Generator, but anyway, that would be another thing you can invest in.
So what?
Repairing.
Yeah, things. Repairing things. That's another thing. Is that a lot of people?
What is a sewing machine?
Right.
What,
yeah. You don't even need a sewing machine to make simple clothing repairs for most of them. You can hand sew, and it kind of amazes me. I maybe it's because I was in Girl Scouts or how I grew up.
I know how to sew.
I know, and Joey knows how to sew. And I've repaired many pairs of his pants. I've repaired my own things. I'm short, so I've hemmed a lot of my own pants.
But there's people that skill has been lost. It's grandmother, and then that's it.
Right.
There's nothing more.
Or even just like slapping some duct tape on something. I'm not talking about your clothes, but maybe something
else.
Well, if you have to, yeah. But I mean, like, you know, you have... Say you have this old lunchbox mm-hmm. or something, and it's not quite bad, but it got a tear in it. You could just slap some duct tape on it. It's not going to be the prettiest, but it's going to get you going for a little bit.
Right. All right. Reuse.
Yeah, so that's just things like, I don't know, what there's things that you keep reusing. I can't think of any at the top of my head.
Well,
but,
you containers that you get food in or mixed drinks in, that type of thing that you can put coins or buttons or bolts and screws and stuff in.
Coffee cans. So there's lots of things. I mean, even just
dry. If we open a bag of fertilizer, we will put it in a coffee can, a metal one, and then seal it up to keep it airtight and keep it dry.
Yeah. So there's a lot of things that you can that are disposable or recyclable that you could reuse, repurpose. Even juice bottles, you can make more juice in them.
A lot of things that we have is not society has taught us it's a one and done. Use it, throw it away, so you can buy more. If you just take a few minutes and look at what you have, there's a lot of items in your home right now that are multiple use for multiple different things. It's not just a one and done. It's not just only used for this item or for this use. There's a lot of things in which you can utilize these items for other projects.
Even like a spaghetti sauce jar, if it's glass, you're not necessarily going to can in it and preserve because it may not be a real mason jar, but you can put dry storage in it, like rice or pasta or lentils or whatever. You can definitely
decorate it up and put your utensils by the stove.
Yeah, make it look nice. Yeah. I mean, you want to, and then that's another part of it is keeping your things functional and taking care of them. So whether
and know where they're at.
And know where they're at. Like, I have a pair of scissors that I've had since I was a child. And I've had it for a long time, obviously. So there's, you know, things like that, just making sure that I lost my scissors today. I'm going to go buy a new one when you could just spend 10 minutes looking for it.
Right. Raising livestock, if you can. Not all municipalities allow you to have, let's say, goats, chickens, or other guineas or quail or anything like rabbits. Some do, some don't. And if you're in that type of mindset that you are able to raise and then butcher out those animals for consumption, that can be a major game changer and money saver in the long run. Yes, the feed costs a little bit and the upfront cost is there. But whenever you're able to basically continue to reproduce livestock for a very small fee compared to buying the expensive meat at the store, or in some cases you can't get certain meats at the store, such as rabbit or quail, you have to specially find those, it does save a lot of money. Now, if you're going to be ambitious and decide, hey, I'm going to do that, one, you need to be sure that you can handle the butchering out process. Before that, you need to be sure that you like what you're going to butcher out. If you're going to raise quail or rabbit and then you find out that you don't like quail or rabbit and you got a couple of dozen of these things, you got a little problem on your hands.
Just a little bit.
Yeah.
Right. So my younger sister did turkeys. She raised meat turkeys. Ended up with like 300 pounds of meat or something. I don't know.
It's but a lot of happy a lot Thanksgiving.
Of, a lot of turkeys. But at least, you know, you would know if you like turkey. You might not know if, and it might be expensive to figure out if you like rabbit or quail.
Right.
Before you raise those things. But that's definitely, and as you'd mentioned, the butchering process. Yep. If you don't want to do that, or maybe you can source somebody, but you still have to think about your supply chain. And that's the biggest thing, is that urban homesteading.
And knowing how to do it right, so you don't cause, you know, sickness or issues once the meat's processed. There's a certain procedure in which you have to go so you don't contaminate the meat.
That's important, too. And not something I had thought about myself. But you can even keep it as small as having chickens for eggs.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of municipalities allow that.
Hens, no roosters on that. So observe and interact with others in your urban homesteading.
Yeah, so that's like knowing what your neighbors – maybe your neighbors have some sort of skill. Maybe you have neighbors that bake delicious bread and you want to trade them for some canned tomatoes.
Or they're able to grow something in their garden that's literally 20 feet from yours that you can't get to grow.
There's that too. So there's a lot of things like that. Or just knowing that maybe they have a generator and you don't, you can't afford one. And then if your power goes out, they're willing to share the...
Yeah, that's why you might want to be nice to your neighbors.
Right.
Know who they are. Know, you know, without being creepy, what do you have in case of emergency? Because, you know, these topics can come up organically and not make it sound like, oh, you got a generator? Okay, where do you keep it? That type of thing. You know, I'm going to steal it when you're not home. That you don't want it to be that type of level of creepiness. But it,
well, like
know.
A friendly, that's why, right, like, right. Observe, interact, and be friendly and be kind. Because you never
there,
know.
And we get that. There are those neighbors that it doesn't matter. You wish the tornado would take their house out. And you would wave at them as they drove away. We know that there's people like that out
right,
there.
Right.
We're just trying to think on the positive side.
Exactly. Well, with that being said, on the positive side, Walton's is our sponsor today. They're the sponsor of the Guardian Joint Holly Radio Show. Listen, we know you care about your food, where it comes from, canning, preserving. But what about the meat? At WaltonsInc.com, you can get all the equipment, seasoning, and supplies to make sausage, jerky, and any other meat product your way to your high standards.
Homemade jerky is good when you do it right.
Right. And then they also have MeatGistics.com to help educate on the hows and whys of meat processing, as well as a community of over 15,000 users who will help give their opinion and guidance on meat processing issues. So WaltonsInc.com, you can get everything from mixers, grinders, sausage stuffers to help you go from animal to edible. WaltonsInc.com, MeatGistics.com. Walton's is everything but the meat.
And they have a coupon code to help you out with whether you're a butcher, you're a hunter, you're a homesteader, or you want some good seasonings and spices and you don't want to spend a lot but you want to get a lot. You can go to WaltonsInc.com at checkout. Use coupon code GROW, G-R-O-W. 22GROW22 and save 10% on your order of orders over $50 and get free shipping. When we come back, it's going to be about nut trees. Can you grow them in your area? We'll discuss that right after this.
Got a question for Joey and Holly? Send it via email anytime to gardentalkradio@gmail.com.
Do your trees look sad? When we, here at the Gardening with Joey and Holly Radio Show Gardens, have tree and shrub issues, Dr. Jim's is the product we reach for, as it is the product that works. It really provides results. Their small-batch, extra-potent blend of readily available nutrients is exactly what your trees, plants, and bushes need to regain their health and stay bug-free. It's super easy to use. It feeds the microbes and adds new life to your soil so you can grow stronger plants. Chemical-free, environmentally responsible fertilizer, that works. It will put a smile on you and your plants. To find out more about Tree Secret and other products, visit drjims.com. That's drjims.com.
The number one key to healthy, productive plants are the roots. Starting from seed to full-grown plants, RootMaker.com has the answer. From seed starting trays with an innovative design that air prunes the roots, creating a fabulous root system, never again will you have root-bound plants to multiple gallon grow bag sizes to raise beds. RootMaker.com has your grow needs covered. Visit RootMaker.com. Use coupon code RADIO21 and get 15% off your entire order.
Pomona's Universal Pectin is a high-quality pectin that gels reliably with low amounts of any sweetener. If you're trying to reduce the amount of sugar in your diet, you'll love Pomona's Universal Pectin. Now you can make healthy homemade jams and jellies sweetened to your taste. You can use sugar or honey to sweeten. Pomona's Universal Pectin keeps indefinitely when stored in an airtight container. Easy to use, versatile, and comes with directions and recipes in every box. Find out more and where to buy at PomonaPectin.com. Also available at natural food stores and online. Straight from the farm, fields, and briar patch, Piper and Leaf Artisan Tea is a tea like you've never imagined it. Get our award-winning tea delivered right to your front door and become part of the Piper and Leaf family. Free shipping over $75 at piperandleaf.com.
Turf experts always say lawn season begins in the fall. It's the time to help grasses recover from summer stresses and thicken up so it can come back strong in the spring. This fall, you can fertilize, aerate, and dethatch your lawn using just one fantastic liquid product. It's called Lawn Force 5, a five-way lawn care kit in a bottle. Lawn Force 5 gives you a lush, healthy lawn you can be proud of. It improves your soil in a way that gives your lawn great color, using 75% less nitrogen than typical lawn fertilizers. Visit our friends at natureslawn.com to find out more about this amazing Lawn Force 5 product. That's natureslawn.com. The Gardening with Joey and Holly Radio Show is brought to you by the following: Pro Plugger, Dripworks, Walton's Incorporated, Tree Diaper, Janie's Mill, Phylum Bioproducts, Chapin Manufacturing Incorporated, Nature's Lawn and Garden Incorporated, Deer Defeat, Dr. Jim's, Root Maker. Find all sponsors at thewisconsinvegetablegardener.com and thank them for their support. Welcome back to the Gardening with Joy and Holly radio show. As we, as gardeners, we're always preparing for next year. And if your watering regimen was not the way you wanted it, Tree Diaper, get it now, can help you get your garden off to the right foot next year.
Yeah, if your plants could talk, maybe this year, they might have a few complaints about not being properly
watered.
Did
you kill them because you didn't water them?
Right, either too much or too little. How do you water properly? You take the guesswork out by using Tree Diaper. Tree Diaper is a revolutionary watering system that stabilizes soil moisture by taking up excess water and slowly releases it when plants need it. The Tree Diaper is filled with water from rain or when you water slowly and releases water over 3 weeks. No pipes, hoses, or electricity needed. Whether you're a first-time gardener or advanced, Tree Diaper will improve the way you water your plants. It's made in the USA. You can find out all the sizes they have available at treediaper.com. That's treediaper.com. It'll keep your plants happy.
Well, nut trees. It may not be the most exciting topic one may decide to discuss. Apples and pears and cherry trees are much more exciting. But nut trees are important for a variety of reasons. And there are nut trees that can be grown in the colder climates of the United States.
You're a nut tree.
We won't get into that.
Yeah, so there are one thing I want to talk about before we before we talk about what trees can be grown in colder climates is keeping in mind about a few things before you plant your tree.
Mm-hmm. Or any tree.
Or bush or dig into the ground. You want to call Digger's Hotline. So you want to determine where you're going to put this thing. But also after that, you want to call Digger's Hotline and you want to have them come out. You want to call them 72 business hours before you dig. You want to show them or mark where you want to dig, and then they're going to come out and determine if there's like a utility line or whatever and let you know, like, you can put this tree here.
Right. Well, we had it marked in the front yard when our garden, we were going to put the garden in. There was more lines and colors on the ground and underground gas line, electrical line, once was a phone line. There's like four or five different colors out there that we had no idea existed. And that
like
we
a utility rainbow.
Yes.
Yeah. So keep that in mind. So then you also want to know how big this tree is going to get.
Just like in vegetable planting. Yeah. Oh, we can plant 75 plants here when really you only can get four in there because they're going to get awful big.
Right. So you want to determine, okay, this tree might get 10 feet tall. It might have a canopy. So that's the width of the top of 20 feet across. And you need to think about that. You need to look up and see, okay, I don't have any other trees it might be hitting. I don't have any wires or, I don't know, your neighbor's gazebo. I'm not really sure, but you want to keep that in mind too.
There are ways in which you can control a tree growing by cutting the canopy and shaping and molding it. However, you want to know that, you know, if you're going to commit to that, because that's some work to do every year. You've got to continue to shape and mold and shape and mold. Otherwise, you just let the tree grow and do its own thing, and it can get quite substantial. So if you're going to commit to it, you want to commit to that, but be aware of that. Nut trees are a great addition to many landscapes. Now, we want to preface it by saying that many nut trees are slow growers and require a lot of space. And most times in a traditional urban setting, there's not enough space for a tree of that size. Many trees can start producing or yielding a product 3 to 5 years after it's planted. Now, this is once you get it from the garden center. We're not talking about taking the nut that you get that's organic and planting it and in a cup and growing it that way. That can be done, but it's much better to invest in a plant start or a tree and then put it in the ground.
Right. So one of the fastest growing nut trees and can also be like a hedge or a smaller tree is hazelnut. The American hazelnut is one, and this one is more like a hedge versus a tree. And it's about it's in good for zones 4 to 9. And it can get 15 to 18 feet tall.
For people who are not familiar with the terminology hedge, what does that define, what is the definition of
like
that?
Like, it's
mean?
More of like a bushier plant.
A large shrub?
Like a, yeah, like a large okay. shrub. Yeah. So that's one.
And the 4 to 9, that's a very large area. Now, the problem with, you know, a lot of these nut trees is we have a lot of critters in the backyard, squirrels, that like nuts. So you want to kind of be aware, you know, you want to do your research and see, one, I want this to grow in my yard. Can it grow in my zone? Two, what is the success rate of other like species growing in the area that I live? Is it worth it?
Right. So I got this information from a lot of our information on trees from the Arbor Day website, and because they care about you growing trees and maintaining trees and all this stuff.
Go to the source.
Yeah, go to the source. And they also have their own nursery where you can buy these trees, and they have their own hybridized hazelnut tree. And the reason why they hybridized the hazelnut tree so that the growing zone was – the hardiness zone was wider –
Larger.
And this one is a hybrid hazelnut from the Arbor Day Foundation, whatever. And they combine two different species to make this growing zone more friendly. And it's for 3 to 9. Zones 3 to 9, it's called the hybrid hazelnut.
Which now, hybridization is not a bad word in the horticultural world. It's, as you said, they take two of the same species, cross them to get a better end result. Not a genetically modification of what, not so, none of that. It's just horticulturists or botanists help nature along. Nature has been hybridizing things. When two plants cross, it builds a stronger species in order to keep that alive for thousands of years.
Since the dinosaurs. So, yeah, so the Arbor Day Foundation does a lot of this where they make up these hybridized trees. And it a lot of times is one, two, for the growing zone, but also it provides a home for wildlife, and it's going to.
It's not a quick process.
No, and it's going to live for a long time. So that is, they have their own. It's called the Arbor Day Farm Hazelnut. So another option is an English walnut, but walnut trees, black walnut trees, can cause issues to. Vegetable
they
gardens.
Produce a toxin in its root system called, I believe it's Julong, and it can persist in the soil up to 80 feet from the trunk and can sit in the soil for many years, even following the removal of the tree and the roots. There is no known method of accelerating the removal of that toxin in the soil. The toxin is created by the tree for a security you know, basically, so the tree doesn't get choked out by other vegetation. There is some vegetation and some vegetables that will grow in that toxified soil. That toxification does not get uptaken by the plants, nor do you consume it. It's just a way of nature controlling the area around the tree.
So if you have a large space to grow a tree, or maybe you want to put a tree in your front yard and you live in an area where you can't grow vegetables in your front yard, but you can grow a tree, you could put the walnut tree in the front yard if you really like walnuts. I would probably do like a hazelnut personally. But yeah, so there's this, it's called the Carpathian English walnut. It grows in zones 5 through 9. It does get 40 to 60 feet tall, uh-huh. So that's a commitment.
Well, there's a lot of just naturally in the woods, you hike, you've probably seen this, and a lot of yards have black walnut trees that's already established. It's been there for many, many years. The joke is in the homeowners association is you can only have trees in the front yard, but they forget, gray area, that they don't say that you can't have fruit-bearing trees. Some of the, you
right,
know, yeah.
Right.
That's so called gray have, area, folks. Gray. That okay. You read the rules not for what's in it, but for what's not in it. That's called gray area.
And this is who I live with. So anyway, I'm just the rule breaker.
Right.
You look for the gray area.
Well, like the place I used to work, they said you can only have lit water in clear liquid plastic bottles. There wasn't a rule in the handbook that didn't say you couldn't have water in a clear plastic container that had a fish in it on your desk.
Right.
Gray area.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Anyway, so that's one of the walnuts. And then there's another walnut called Hall's Hardy Almond. and or I'm sorry, it's an almond tree. And it's just a little almond tree. It gets about 10 to 15 feet tall, very manageable. And it does take, it's for zones 5 through 8.
And now with some of these trees, you want to be aware that there is, can be quite a water consumption requirement for them in order to produce the nuts in order, you know, to harvest them. And not all the trees, not all the nut trees that you may want to grow in your specific area can be grown in your area. There are a lot of nut trees that are warm climate, Southern California, Southern United States, that will only grow down there, similar to some of the, like a tropical type of plant or tree. So you want to be that be aware of that, that not everything can be grown where you're at. That's just part of how geology and geographical stuff works. That not everything can be grown everywhere.
That's very true. And we learned, we had a guest on a few weeks ago, that you can grow figs.
Yeah.
In a
Stephen Biggs from
he's 5.
He's up in Canada, and you can grow lemons trees in a lot of places. So there are plants, trees that have been, or not necessarily have been hybridized, but are naturally adapted to colder climates. I know there are peach trees that will grow in the Minnesota, northern Minnesota area, because they've adapted or they've been hybrid. I don't know which what the story is on those, but they can grow up there when a traditional peach tree cannot.
Right, and that's definitely something to keep in mind, is that if you are looking for an edible tree option, you might think, oh, well, I live in this climate and there's no way I can grow this tree, but there might be.
You'd be surprised at what you can find.
Now, you can't necessarily grow an avocado tree in the north, but you can find something that is applicable to where you live and could produce a lot of delicious things for you.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, Holly, summer's over. We know this. Nights are getting colder. Days are getting shorter. Days are getting colder, too. And frost is in the forecast in some parts of the United States. But we have forgotten about our lawn because we're ready and worried about upcoming holidays, and we shouldn't have done that.
Right.
Well, I mean, we can worry about the upcoming holidays, but we shouldn't forget about our lawn.
Exactly. Yeah. No. Just because it's fall, we don't want to forget about those yards or those Japanese beetles. They may be gone, but they're not far. Not only did they feast on your roses and berries this summer, they laid eggs in your turf so that they can start again next year. Take a stand with Phylum's Grub Gone. Grub Gone is a non-chemical BT granule that specifically targets scarab pests and their larvae. Simply apply the granular with a spreader, irrigate it into the soil, and let the naturally occurring bacteria do its job.
Not only is Grub Gone easy to use, because it is easy, it's the only non-chemical choice that effectively controls grubs. And the best part about it, it's non-toxic to bees and other pollinators, so you don't have to worry about them picking it up and taking it back to their hive and killing the hive off. You can get your hands on some Grub Gone from phylumbioproducts.com, the natural choice. That's PHYLLOM bioproducts.com. Hang out, don't go anywhere. Founder of the Grow Network, Marjorie Wildcraft, will be with us right after this.
Have a garden question? Give Joey and Holly a call now or anytime 24/7. Just dial 1-800-927-SHOW. If you can't get through, leave a message and they will call you back. Call now, 1-800-927-SHOW.
Tired of dealing with bugs but don't want to use harmful chemicals to repel them? Naturally Green No More Bugs is all natural and plant-based. No more chemical bug repellent. Use it around your home and on you, indoors and out, DEET-free, and will not stain, repels mosquitoes, ticks, fleas, roaches, ants, flies, and more. No More Bugs is the answer to what is bugging you. Stop using harmful chemicals and use what is safe for you, your family, pets, and the environment. For more information, visit natgreenproducts.com. natgreenproducts.com.
Protect your plants against damage with a 3-in-1 plant guard and special blend fertilizer. Visit ivyorganics.com. Dig planting holes from a comfortable standing position. Step, twist, pull, and plant. Visit proplugger.com.
Brought to you by Blue Ribbon Organics, providing locally made organic compost and soil blends for gardens, farms, landscaping, and more. Visit BlueRibbonOrganics.com or call 262-497-8539 to find their products nearest you. The Gardening with Joey and Holly radio show is brought to you by the following: Simply Earth, Seed Savers Exchange, Quick Snap Sprinklers, Water Hoop, Timber Pro Coatings, Bloomin' Easy Plants, Pomona Universal Pectin, Ivy Organics, Tiger Torch, Happy Leaf LED, SeedLink. Find all sponsors at thewisconsinvegetablegardener.com and thank them for their support. Welcome back to the Gardening with Joey and Holly radio show. Moments away, Marjorie Wildcraft. But first, even though fall is upon us, we still get those warm days. And those warm days equal active yellow jackets. And rescue can put a kibosh on that problem for you.
Yeah, I just saw a yellow jacket yesterday. So during these warm days, you might notice these yellow jackets. They're looking for your barbecue meats, sweet drinks, water sources, what have you. Yeah, me apparently. Yeah, so Rescue has yellow jacket traps. They're an eco-friendly do-it-yourself option to let those stinging pests stay away from you or me. Those traps are a powerful lure for yellow jackets and will not attract beneficial honeybees. All Rescue products are made in the USA. You can go to rescue.com where you can find the yellow jacket traps and other pest control solutions. That is rescue.com.
Holly, let's go to the hotline and bring in our guest for this week.
Marjorie Wildcraft is the founder of The Grow Network, which is a community of people focused on modern self-sufficient living. She's passionate about growing your own food, being self-sufficient, and being a good steward for the earth. She recently authored The Grow System, The Essential Guide to Modern Self-Sufficient Living, From Growing Food to Making Medicine. Welcome to the program, Marjorie.
Hi, thanks for having me on.
Well, thank you for taking time out of obviously your very busy schedule to enlighten and educate Holly and myself and all of our listeners across the country.
Yeah, my pleasure.
So let's tell us more about the Grow Network. What people can find when they go there? How did it become and what it is today and what's the meaning behind it?
Yeah, well, years ago, I was volunteering on a farm-to-table project to get locally grown vegetables in the elementary school, right? We thought it was a no-brainer slam dunk. And what I found out was there are no locally grown vegetables. Mm. Like, really, you know, all the Willie Nelson concerts to save the family farm did not work.
Right.
And so all of a sudden that 45-minute drive from Austin to Red Rock made sense. There's no guys, no tanned guys on tractor. There's no grain silos. There's no fields of food. There's, you know, just maybe, a new Dollar General and another subdivision going in. So, I mean, and if you go out in the countryside and look around, there's not. And it just shocked me to the core. And I knew there was only 4 days worth of food supply in the grocery stores. And I knew that we all were dependent on a just-in-time trucking system, you know. And I knew that it takes 1,200 calories of energy to get 100 calories to your plate, and that's not sustainable. And I said, oh, my gosh, I think I had better learn how to grow food. And so that was really what really, and I was like in a total panic. I was freaked out. I had small kids. Like if any kind of collapse situation happened, I knew, you know, I was in Texas, like surrounded by 12 million people, that we were in a world of hurt. And I think, actually, I know I was going through, I was just ahead of my time, the panic and sense of unease and, you know, I had the night sweats and just, general like freak out that a lot of people are going through right now because they're starting to realize the vulnerability of our systems. I will tell you the short punchline is that, you know, growing your own food will heal you on the physical level because of the nutrition, on the emotional level and the spiritual level, just, you know, having the confidence that you can provide for yourself no matter what happens makes you so much stronger. And so basically that's what came out of it was like, oh my God, this is a huge problem. If we don't address this, there's going to be a time when there's a huge problem and we're here.
Right.
There is a time.
You knew there was a problem. You knew that, cross your fingers, hope it never happens that we see the shortness of the food in the stores, but reality set in and that's where we're at.
Yeah. So fortunately, I have about 2 decades now that I've been at this and I've been able to figure out what is the fastest and easiest way to take somebody who knows absolutely nothing, who is probably older and maybe out of shape or overweight, and how do you get them, all they have is a backyard, maybe a hose and some other small resources, how can you take them in the fastest and easiest and quickest way and get them to producing a lot of food that's deeply nutritious, that's going to heal them and is going to be significant And how do you do that? So, fortunately, I've had all these years to do it. Some of my early attempts were pretty bad. You know, like, oh my God, I made this one video and everybody was like, it's fantastic, but I could never do that. You know, it was just too complicated. Mm-hmm. And so I've really learned how to dial it in over the years and develop courses and trainings and information. So when people go to the Grow Network, you'll see a blog. We post new posts up there almost every day on all kinds of interesting topics of related to food production or preservation. Or cooking, you'll find we have an academy where we have a whole bunch of courses where we'll teach you whatever you want to know about growing different, you know, chickens, gardens, mushrooms, goats, greenhouses. We also have a really active and engaged forum because over the decades, I've developed a really big following of people who go, yeah, you know what, Marjorie, what you're doing makes a ton of sense and I want to help out and I want to be a part of this. So we have a really amazing forums. And we also have a store which sort of funds the whole thing, which is where we sell some kits. You know, how do you make elderberry syrup, or how do you make a tincture? You know, just some basic home medicine kind of stuff, which funds the whole business. So it's really it's a mature business. I mean, we've been at it now for more than a dozen years. We've been online. And got a team of about 9 dedicated people that work on this. And I think we're the largest organization of its kind that does this. So we're all dedicated to just how do you grow food, how do you make medicine, how do you become self-sufficient in your backyard in a grid down situation.
That's amazing. So, you know, we know soil is lifeblood of the plants. We talk about that a lot. But from your perspective, obviously, why soil is so important, but how can people really build their soil, I guess, in the most efficient way that they can get a good grow out of it the fastest, essentially?
Yeah, that's an awesome question. And it tells me that you guys really are clued in, because most people think of soil as just dirt to hold mm-hmm. the plant up. But it's so much more, right?
Right.
It's where all the plant gets its vitamins and minerals and life, right? So you need to have a really good, healthy soil. And I'm willing to bet 99% of, you know, I bet you don't, and everybody listening doesn't have good soil, because, you know, our ancestors knew the value of good soil, and that's where they placed our cities, and all that's been concreted over now, right?
Yeah.
So I recommend for a gardening method, and believe me, I have gardened almost every way you can garden. I really, at this point in time, especially for beginners, I recommend a raised bed garden. Cinder blocks stacked too high. You make a bed that's 5 feet wide by 12 and a half feet long. Cinder block only weighs about 16 pounds, which can easily be handled by a woman or a child, right? You can totally do this. And buy the best soil you possibly can. Now, you're going to always need to be maintaining that soil. And one of our best free books that we give out is called 50 Homemade Fertilizers, which is homemade ways to keep maintaining the fertility and to keep growing your soil. And there's a lot of stuff, you know, coffee grounds, banana peels, grass clippings, you know, all this kind of stuff. You start learning to compost it and make it. And yes, all of us need to be building soil. That's what we're going to be doing for the rest of our lives, quite frankly.
Well, and you talk about your videos on the Grow Network on the website. A lot of the videos that you are in, you're barefoot. Now, what is this, like a Cody Lundin thing that you've trained your feet to absorb any type of terrain, or what's the story behind that?
You know, it's fun. I actually see Cody about once a year. We end up at the same primitive skills gathering. No, it just, you know, I grew up in South Florida and I was a kid and I was always barefoot. And then I became a tenderfoot, like all of us do when we get older. And then when I had my own kids, they were running around barefoot. And I was remembering how much fun that was. Mm-hmm. And so it took a while to be able to build up the pads. And the connection, the grounding, there's just tons of research on the connection to the earth and the awakening of your feet and all those, Chinese acupuncture points. I mean, there's just a ton of reasons why you want to go barefoot. And I've just really, really enjoyed it. And I've just loved that. And actually, my own kids now are grown and they're tenderfoots again. So I'm laughing at them.
I know I like to go barefoot as much as possible, so I totally understanding and get that it really is, there is all that proof about the grounding and your connection to the earth. So I totally...
There's also feedback, you know, like I'm like, oh my God, the grass here, I can feel this, or, you know, I'm feeling the soil here, or I'm feeling, you know, as I'm walking across my land, I'm getting a whole nother connection with what is going on the ground that I'm working with. So other than just looking at it or smelling it or touching it, you know, I've got my feet and there's that connection. I'm like, oh, you know, here, this area is getting a little thin, or, you know, this is a little sandy, or what, you know, this is a little rocky. You know what I mean? You get this whole other level of sensation. It's a real joy. It's a real joy. I don't recommend you know, go slowly. Don't hurt yourself.
Right. That too. So you have a book out. It's called The Grow System, The Essential Guide to Modern Self-Sufficient Living, From Growing Food to Making Medicine. Why don't you tell us about your book and what can our listeners expect to find when they pick up a copy?
Absolutely. Yeah. So first of all, we had 18 publishers bid on the book, and at least 5 of them said they saw this book as a New York Times bestseller. So they all, you know, read the whole outline and the sample chapters and they loved it. So when you get a bunch of literary agents and publishers loving your book, then it's a good book. So I'll just say that. The promise of the book is we'll teach you how to grow half of your own food in a backyard size space in less than an hour a day. The other is you'll learn the 12 most common ailments and how to treat them naturally with herbs or weeds that are growing in your yard. And then the book goes into so much more. And there is a whole section on soil and making soil. And then there's a whole other section on why genetics are so important. So seed saving and breeding livestock. And then also, you know, what your role in this is and taking it to a spiritual level. Again, you know, most people are now are really at the bottom level of like, look, I'm just thinking I need to survive here. But where this goes is unbelievably spiritual, like mystical. It's incredible the things that start to happen when you start growing food and start to get connected. You're dealing with forces of creation. You're dealing with raw forces of creation and magic happens. So it's an incredible journey to go on. And the book goes into that on all those different layers.
Let's talk about that for a minute. Foraging, it can be mm-hmm. very intimidating. What are your best get started foraging tips to do it safely?
Yeah, so you definitely be careful, right? Don't just go sticking leaves in your mouth. And, right. You know, I did not say that, right? Acorn, everybody can identify an acorn, and all acorns are edible. And they actually were an incredible staple for the indigenous peoples. And they grow almost everywhere. Like, there are very few regions that do not, even in the high deserts, even in the Sonoran Desert, there are different types of trees that grow acorns. So, you know, head over to the Grow Network. We've got tons of blogs and discussions and forum threads on different ways to harvest acorns and cook them, and it's actually one of my favorite foods. You know, Aunt Jemima ain't got nothing on acorn pancakes.
Well, what are some good first steps for somebody who mm-hmm. wants to work towards being self-sufficient?
Yeah. I always recommend people, and especially this time of year, we're in the Northern Hemisphere, we're going into winter. If you're in the South, it might be a good time to garden right now, believe it or not. In the South, the fall is often the best time for the gardening. But get started with something. And I really recommend chickens, a backyard flock of chickens. They're not going to lay as prolifically over the winter, but you can get that chicken coop built. You can get those hens. You can start getting them settled in. And start collecting eggs. I mean, really, in just a matter of a couple of weekends, you can be having a little egg factory in your backyard. And those are significant calories. 6 hens will lay 1,500 eggs a year for you. That's so you would have 3 egg omelets every day for breakfast, and you'd have 33 dozen eggs to give away to friends or barter or trade. Huge amount of production, unbelievably nutritious food, and comes in a great compact, you know, it comes in its own container, doesn't need to be refrigerated. So,
and you bring that yeah. up because home harvested eggs can be stored, if done correctly, much longer than store-bought eggs because of the way they're processed.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you can store eggs for several weeks, but that you've grown in your backyard, and just keep them in a cool, dry, dark place.
And the taste is totally different, night and day.
You know what? The taste of everything that you're going to produce in your backyard is night and day. In fact, you know, I travel a lot. People take me out. We go to the best restaurants. None of them compares to the homegrown food, because my homegrown food is grown, and going back to the soil, Holly, it's grown in this incredibly rich, nutrient-dense soil, and the plants pick that up. And when you taste it, man, your taste buds know it, and you remember it. Unbelievable. Fabulous. You know, you'll become a total food snob.
I completely agree. I couldn't agree more. So we've really enjoyed having you on the program, Marjorie. How can people find out more about you? Just remind them again where your website is and all of your great information.
I bet one of the best places I recommend you go is to go to icangrowfood.com. And I'm doing a webinar on how to grow food in a grid down situation with no experience, even if you're older and out of weight. And we run that webinar about once a month. I really recommend it's free. I download like 20 years worth of information condensed into, you'll walk away with that webinar knowing exactly, you'll have a plan of what to do. You'll know exactly how to roll that out, and you'll be able to be producing food in just a few weeks. It's a really fabulous, when you come to the webinar, bring your questions. The most popular part of the webinar is the latter part where we have a live Q&A section. So icangrowfood.com.
Well, Marjorie, we greatly appreciate the time you've offered us and the education that you've shared, not only Holly and myself, but all of our listeners across the country. We thank you for that very much.
Thank you so much, Joey and Holly. I appreciate being on the air with you.
Absolutely. And when we come back, it's going to be your garden questions, our garden answers. This is The Gardening with Joey and Holly.
Got a question for Joey and Holly? Send it via email anytime to gardentalkradio@gmail.com.
You move your lawn sprinklers all over the yard, but you always end up putting them in the same spots. Why not just bury them there? Out of sight, always ready to use, pre-adjusted to water the precise areas you want. Quick Snap Sprinklers makes it easy. In-ground sprinklers without the hassle or expense of laying pipe. Put the sprinklers anywhere in your lawn or garden. Snap on a hose to supply the water. Water on, it pops up. Water off, it drops below ground. You can mow right over it. You can have a buried sprinkler system up and running in just minutes. Each Quick Snap saves thousands of dollars. They install in minutes and operate for years. Visit quicksnapsprinkler.com. Rinse Kit, your hose on the go. Pressurized water at your fingertips. Without pumping or battery, simply fill from your spigot or sink on your way out to the garden, beach, or anywhere. Spray it, wash it, rinse Kit.
Did you know that all flour is not created equal? Janie's Mill carefully stone grinds all their certified organic wheat, rye, corn, buckwheat, and heirloom, and ancient grains so that you get every bit of taste and nutrition nature intended. Some flours really are better than others, and you deserve the best. Get it at janiesmill.com.
The Gardening with Joy and Holly radio show is brought to you by the following: Blue Ribbon Organics, Naturally Green Products, Ironwood Tool Company, Easy Step Products, Rinse Kit, Soul Brew Kombucha, Wild Delight, Rincon Vitova, Chip Drop, Bailbuster.com. Find all sponsors at the WisconsinVegetableGardener.com and thank them for their support. Welcome back to the Gardening with Joy and Holly radio show. Thank you for being with us today. You got a question? It's that time. Q&A. You can send it on over to GardenTalkRadio@gmail.com, GardenTalkRadio@gmail.com, or you can give us a call, 1-800-927-SHOW, 1-800-927-7469, toll-free, coast-to-coast. See what we can get through to the top of the hour, Holly.
I actually like this garden tip that I received from Joni. Thank you, Joni. I leave my cardboard out in the elements for a while before using in the garden. This makes ripping off the packaging tape and labels very easy. But don't use the cardboard with the shiny labels.
Okay.
So thank you, Joni.
You can use cardboard for a variety of different things, from mulching to weed barriers. Some people may feel that the toxicity in the glue is bad, and the glue has some toxicity levels, but the amount of toxicity that you're consuming in other forms in your life, probably minimal the toxicity in the glue that you're getting. So save your cardboard. You can use that for compost, mulch, anything and everything in between there. All right, next question is fall cleanup. Fall cleanup. I've read some gardeners will pull everything out at the end of the year right before the snow and the winter comes, till the soil, walk away and not come back till spring. Others I've read leave everything in the garden until spring warms up, and then they clean the garden out and plant it. Which is the right answer? That's a deep question here. That's a,
like, do you want to get in a fist fight type of question? So some people do like to take their plants, till them into the soil, and kind of feel like they're putting the garden to bed for the winter. Some people pull their plants out and just lay them on top of their garden. We kind of do both. Well, we don't till, but we pull the plants out. We put a bunch of leaves on the top of the
cover the soil.
And I feel like, as we spoke about in the previous segment about building your soil and things like that, that would be the best thing to do, is to cover your soil and let that stuff break down and feed your soil over winter.
Okay, so that's your take on it. If you have diseased plants in your garden, such as late blight on tomatoes, powdery mildew on your grapes or your tomatoes.
I meant clean plants.
If you have powdery mildew on your cucumbers or your beans or whatever, you want to dispose of those, or bean rust. You want to get rid of those, get rid of them, put them in the trash, don't compost them. We leave a lot of our dead vegetation in the garden, and we'll cover leaves on top of it like you spoke about. This does a couple of things. One, you want to cover the soil because everything in nature has soil coverage. Secondly, there's a lot of beneficial insects that need somewhere to hibernize over winter. And if you completely clean the garden, bare bones, totally up, till it under, then they don't have that benefit. Now, true enough that there are some bad bugs that harbor in the leaf debris and the plant debris over the winter. But with any good ecosystem, there's a balance of good bugs and bad bugs. So we fall more in the, we leave things alone, we clean them up in the spring as we prepare the beds for the spring planting. That's what we do. So, you know, take it for what you think, and that's our opinion. We don't till because there's a lot of advantages to minimal soil disturbance, and we went to the raised beds, which we don't need to till in the raised beds. Makes weeding a whole lot more easier and psychologically easier to maintain. Plus, the production is greater than when it was in the ground for this twice as much space.
Yeah, I agree.
And we got a cucumber question that has come in. Being had some cucumbers. I have every year cucumbers start off great, produces tons of fruit. And within a month, the leaves at the bottom of the plant get spotty, they dry up, fall off, and the leaf disease or this problem continues to work up the plant, chasing up the vine. Is this too much water? Not enough water? What can I do? I'm a veteran raised bed gardener and would like to produce cucumbers all season long.
Well, there's a few things that are going on here. One, cucumbers only produce for about, 90 days max.
They want soil at root zone, 65 degrees or warmer. When it gets cold, too cold, like, we always want to get them in the ground way too early. It shocks them. Yep. That's first of all, that's problem number one.
Right. But there's also other issues. It sounds like it could be cucumber mosaic virus. So cucumber mosaic virus is caused by overwintering. It overwinters on these sustainable or susceptible plants.
Uh-huh.
And there's no cure for this anything that can...
No, there's no product that can be utilized on the cucumbers to remove this issue that they have.
And I guess this happens to squash and melons as well.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to remove those plants. So if you have those plants that are hurting right now, you want to remove them completely.
Do not put them in the compost.
Throw them away, And you want to make sure that you watch aphids. You want to remove any weeds around those plants. And then you want to make sure that you are cleaning tools, etc., so you're not spreading that further.
If you continue to do these practices, it will help rid the problem over a course of a number of years. Also, it's kind of one of those things that you don't want to plant the same plant that you had a problem with a disease or bug in the same bed, same location, year after year. You want to move it. Whether it's 2 feet or 200 feet, it's going to make a tremendous difference by moving that plant and putting something else in that area. Even if you're putting new, fresh compost in that bed over and over again, there's still things that harbor in the soil, good and bad. So by rotation of crops, especially ones that are having consistent year after year problems, then that is a good solution to that problem. Well, we are out of time. We thank you for yours. Did you miss any portion of the program today or would like to revisit it? You can certainly do that by going to your favorite search engine and typing in the Gardening with Joey and Holly radio show, and or you can send us an email to gardentalkradio@gmail.com, and we will send you a link to the program today. You can find out past shows at our parent website, thewisconsinvegetablegardener.com, all 5 seasons. Tune in next week. Next week is our final show for season 5. We'll be going over how you can grow leeks and onions correctly so you can get them started in the spring. At the right time, we'll cover that, as well as learning about Holly and myself. We'll have some Q&A about ourselves so you can get to know us a little bit better without getting to know us too well. And our guest will be Robert Couric, author, and we'll answer your garden questions. So until next week, for
Hi, Baird.
I'm Joy Baird, and we will see you in the garden.